Well, this morning, our message is out of Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 21, and it's talking about just a little walk with Jesus, and it's a pretty straightforward 3-point sermon. And comes right out of the scripture, so it's pretty nice and easy to put together, easy to preach, and easy to understand, I hope. So, as we get started, let's go ahead and read the scripture. This is going to be out of the New King James Version. And I have it up here on the board for you. It's, do you have the lapel on? Yes, he does. Can everybody hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornicators... Okay. Sweet-smelling aroma. Okay. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks, for you know that... No fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See, then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. All right. Now, as we get into the scripture here, there's three basic points, and you probably actually have the same points that I have here in your Bible lined out in the three different divisions of these verses. You got walking in love, walking in the light, and walking in wisdom. Now, they're divided up here this way because these specific paragraphs or points are very clear. Paul has lined them out here for a reason. God has put these things on Paul's heart as he's writing this letter for a reason. The whole concept of being an imitator of God, being a child of the Lord, has these three things in mind as he's writing this for a reason. There is, number one, walking. What walking is a purposeful intent, motion. You are doing something. You're not just standing still. It's a motion. It's a movement. It's a going forward. It is a decision that one makes that I am going to go from point A to point B. I am not going to stand still. I am not going to just stay here and sit on my duff. I am going to go from point A to point B. So it is a motion. It is a movement. I am going to continue to move forward. Sort of similar to growth. I am going to grow. All right, so walking in love. Moving forward in love. All right, what happens here? First, he says, be imitators of God. Why does he say that? Well, being imitators of God is a good way to stand out in the crowd. Being imitators of God is a wonderful way to let others see the love of God displayed in the world. Because if you're imitating God, the number one thing you're going to be doing in the world is not being a condemning, condescending individual. You will if you got the wrong view of God. But if you're being a imitator of God, you will be a loving, caring, nurturing individual. Because the true picture of God that everybody should have is the one who created a world, the one who created humanity, to have a relationship with him that was founded and grounded in love, that he went far and beyond the call of duty to provide a plan of salvation that we would be able to enter into this relationship that he had first established that humanity messed up by the giving of his own son. So you have a God who loves beyond even the realm or the dimensions of love that humanity can comprehend. As far as what we consider to be realistic love, God has gone above and beyond what we would consider love, because how many humans would just up and give their own son, up and give their own child for someone else? So, imitating God would be to be loving, to be caring. And that's where we get loving like Jesus also. Well, how is that different from loving like God? Well, God is God. Jesus is God incarnate, God living on the planet Earth with us. So Jesus displayed love in similar ways to God, but Jesus also displayed love in a realistic way that we can see as humans, as a way that we can also imitate in real ways. Well, what did he do? He went to the people who society saw as unlovable, outcasts. He went to individuals that weren't necessarily the desirables, but he also went and he did the things that people saw as impossible. Well, was it impossible because it was impossible to do? No, it was impossible because it was against societal rules. So, walking in love, verses 1 through 7, you see him listing out imitators of God as dear children. Why does he put that? Imitators of God as dear children. Those of us who are parents have seen our own children imitate us. Why? For good or for bad, they imitate us. Why? Because they want to be like their parents. They want to be just like mom or dad. Why? Because they look up to us. And that's what it's saying, is we should be looking up to God just as much as a child looks up to their father or their mother. We should be looking up to God and be wanting to imitate him just as much as a child admires their parent. We should be trying to imitate him in that innocent imitation that a child imitates their parent. But it should go beyond that. It should go beyond that innocent imitation to a imitation that is purposeful, an imitation that is direct. Well, as we learn and grow as individuals, as Christians, we should see that, well, God is this. God is like this. Therefore, I need to be more like this. Therefore, we need to ask God to help us be more like Him and imitate Him purposefully instead of just like a child imitating Him as just a sort of admiration. All right. Then it moves on. Walk in love. Walk in love. It takes on this purposeful imitation, this purposeful loving. Walk in love. What does walk in love mean? Walk in love means, you know, I'm going to guide my steps by my desire to express my, thank you, to express my feelings, not just feelings, because feelings aren't what love is, but express my relationship with Christ. My direction in life, my whole being, my whole life is going to be directed by my relationship with Christ. So as I love Him, so I will be directed in life by that love for Him. That should make sense, I would pray. Ah, thank you. And then it goes on and says things about, well, this is a list of things that are not acceptable, things that are not fitting of saints, and things we should be looking out for, and all that. And then it goes on in verse 6 to say, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Okay, this is a warning to the church in Ephesus, because there were false teachers there trying to preach a false doctrine, a false truth. And that's for them there, that's for them there then, but it's also for us now. There are also a lot of people out there teaching and preaching false truths. What we need to do is we need to be careful what we believe and what we know, and we need to measure that against the truth, whatever we hear, whatever we know, against the Bible. Number one, the Bible will always be a standard to stand up against. And whatever we are hearing, even from the Holy Spirit, needs to be measured up against the Bible, because God will never contradict Himself. God will never contradict Himself. So if we're hearing a direction from the Holy Spirit, it will never go against what God has already said in His Bible. It will never counter that. So we need to not be deceived by people. We need to not be deceived by what we may think we're hearing. We need to test the spirits, as the Word tells us, and be sure that we're hearing the Spirit, not a spirit. All right. So as we walk in love, we will be guided and directed in love, because it's part of our relationship. Our guide and our direction in life will be our relationship with Christ. And our walking in that relationship will be as strong as our relationship is. So as close as we are to Christ will determine how strong our walk is and how far our walk will go, if that makes sense. So it's a daily thing. Our walk is a daily thing. Each day we walk farther. We ask for new light, and that's another part of it that we're going to talk about, but each day we ask for another step in life. We gain more ground in Christ every day, which means we're taking more ground from what the enemy had in our life. So, moving on. Walking in the light. Walk as children of light. Verses 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What does that mean? You've changed. There's something that is now different. You were once darkness. You were once living as a sinner. I was once living as a sinner. You're not a sinner anymore. There's a false notion out there that you say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You have been saved by grace. Therefore, you are a saved person. You are not a sinner saved by grace anymore. You have been saved by grace. Therefore, you are no longer a sinner. You do not have to sin. It is a choice. Sin is a choice. It is not a necessity. So people out there that are saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, that's a false notion. That's a defeatist mentality. That's saying that I'm always going to have to sin. No, you're not. You don't have to always sin. The mindset is that if I have that, then yeah, you're always going to sin. Definition of sin being, well, if it's any mistake or any error in life, yeah, then you're going to sin. But if your definition of sin is any willful transgression of the known will of God by a morally responsible agent, then you don't have to sin. Because then it leaves you as the decision maker on whether or not you're going to sin. Because you know what the known will of God is to you. You know how much you know of the will of God. Then you're faced with the decision, okay, I know this is wrong. God says it's wrong. Do I choose to do it or not? And if you choose to do it, then it's sin. If you don't choose to do it, then you don't sin. So, walking as children of light means, you know what? You walk in the light that you have. You walk in all the light that you have. You don't go back into the darkness and say, yeah, I know that this is wrong, so I'm just going to decide to walk in that darkness. I'm going to decide that, you know what? God has told me that this is sin, but I'm still going to decide to live in that. That's walking in darkness and not walking in the light as children of light. So, as we walk in the light as children of light, we gain more ground also every day because God shows us more and more of His truth every day. We learn more and more about ourselves, maybe more and more about what we need to be exposed, what needs to be exposed in our own life to the light, and things that we need to grow in, but also maybe just more about general knowledge in life. And then as we do that, God gives us more knowledge, and that's just more light that we are able to walk in. And then that's more knowledge that we're accountable for. And as we're accountable for more and more, then God holds us accountable for it. What's wrong with that? We hold our kids accountable for things as they grow older, don't we? God does the same thing for us as we grow in Christ. Is there anything wrong with that? Well, that makes God out to be a meanie. Well, that makes every parent out to be a meanie. No, just let your kids just run awry. Light exposes darkness. Which also means that as you grow as a child of light, you're also going to be able to help others expose darkness in their own life. Well, what does this mean? Well, let's move on. Walking in wisdom. That's where this part comes in. Because if you are a child of light, you're going to need to walk in wisdom too. You're going to need to walk carefully. You're going to need to step wisely. You're going to need to use the discernment that God gives you. You're going to need to rely on the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. Why? Because as you walk in the light and as you walk in love, you're going to need to weigh these decisions that you make in life according to all these things that you have going on. The amount of light that you have, and also what it is as far as a love response, and what the Holy Spirit's telling you. And then wisdom. Walk carefully. Be filled with the Spirit, because you know what? It's not that you're going to be held accountable by people. You're going to be held accountable by God. People are also watching, and yes, it does make an impact on people what they see you do. But as long as you're doing what's right in God's eyes, that's all that matters. But you need to also be careful, because you can do what's right in God's eyes but do it totally wrong and make a terrible impression. There's a right way to do things right in God's eyes, and there's a wrong way to do things right in God's eyes. Because we also are walking in the light, walking in love, and also trying to reach out to the world around us for Christ. So if we're trying to make these decisions in the best interest of all that, and trying to make these decisions in the light of all that, and also trying to make an impact on the world for Christ, we can't just go with, you know what, I'm making a decision, and you know what, I don't care what other people think. Well, the decision needs to be right in God's eyes, but it also can be decided upon by, well, I need to make a good impression on the people around me for Christ. Not for me, not so I look good, but so Christ looks good. Does that make sense? I hope so. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. Sometimes it does. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be relying on the Holy Spirit for your help to make all this congeal, make all this come together right. All right. See that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly simply just means carefully. Walk carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. Doesn't mean smart, but wise, using discernment, using good judgment. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's always going to be wise to seek the will of God and to decide things upon that. All right. And then submit to one another in the fear of God. That's where the last part comes in. Be accountable to one another. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be accountable to one another. That's where this whole idea comes in, that, you know, light exposes darkness. Well, we're all walking in the light, but some of us may be blinded by the light as we're walking in the light and not see the own darkness in our own life that God's trying to point out to us because we're not allowing ourselves to. So as another brother or sister comes up, led by the Holy Spirit, walking in love and guided by the light that they have in their life, we need to allow them to help us, and we need to be accountable to them, and they need to be accountable to us, and allow them to speak what the Holy Spirit's telling them to speak, because that's what the whole gathering of the body of Christ together is. It's not just to come together and worship. It's to come together and help one another grow through mutual accountability. And the whole judge not lest ye be judged is not something to throw out here, because that whole verse in context means that you should not judge unless you're willing to be held up to the same scrutiny or the same judgment that you're holding the other one accountable to. Which throws back the whole idea of the plank eye syndrome. Well, don't come up to somebody and try to help them out with a problem that they have in their life unless your life is straight in that area. Your life doesn't have to be straight in all areas. And it's not fair for somebody to throw back at you some other area in your life that you may not have a handle on if you're coming to them with another area of life and you're totally straight with that area of life. That's just trying to avoid the subject. If you come up to them and say, you know what, your relationship with so-and-so is not right, and you're falling into a trap which may lead down the line to something wrong as far as possible adultery or something like that. You're getting too close. It's not bad to have a relationship with this individual as a friend, but you guys are getting a little too close. And I want to warn you as a friend. Well, you have no right to do that. I mean, your kids are just like this. Wait a minute. That has nothing to do with this. You're just trying to turn the spotlight off of you by throwing something else out here. Is that a true sin issue in my life? Well, if it is, we'll talk about that too, but we still need to talk about this. Too many times people try to avoid it by throwing something out that has nothing to do with it. Well, you can't judge me. No, I can't judge you, but I can sure help you avoid being judged by God for this. I'm not judging you. I'm helping you be accountable. I'm helping you be accountable to yourself. I'm helping you be accountable to your spouse. I'm helping you be accountable to the church. And ultimately, I'm helping you be accountable to God so you don't have to be judged by Him for this. That's what it's about. That's what the community, the body of Christ, is all about. And too many times the church is too squeamish to even talk about issues with one another. No, that's their own life. That's their personal business. Everybody's personal business when it comes to sin is not personal business, because anybody who has sin in their life, it affects the church whether you know it or not. If they have sin issues in their life, it affects the church on some level, whether you know it or not. Whether it's somebody in the community seeing the sin in their life and saying, well, if that's the type of church they're going to, I don't want to be a part of that. Or whether it's affecting the church and their ability to perform a duty in serving on some board or whatever. Because if they have sin in their life, they're not connecting with God, because any sin comes between them and God. They're not able to communicate with God like somebody else who has no sin coming between them and God. So, you can say it's personal all you want. Yes, it is personal, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to help them with it. So, just a little walk with Jesus. You need to walk in love, walk in the light, and walk in wisdom. And as we do that, we will help one another to grow in Christ. And as we grow in Christ, we will grow as a church. And as we grow as a church, people will be attracted to the church. It's not that we'll grow as a church numerically, we'll grow as a church spiritually, and then when a church is on fire, as John Wesley said, when something's on fire, people are automatically attracted to a fire. Light something on fire and see how the people come. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just continue to help us walk with you. Walk with you as close as possible and help us to help one another get as close to you as we possibly can. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.